in one of the encounters I had this week with the Lord, he was showing me that there's going to be a connection between the two generations, you know, our generation and the one like me and Zach's generation, and me and my sons and daughters' generation. There's a real connection that's going to come as we come into unity together and start to flow together intentionally, that spiritually things are going to begin to take off. And so it's very important that the unity of the body is complete, not just, you know, the old people getting along with the old people and the young people getting along with the young people, but we all get along together. Do you know what I'm saying? And that was done in a very clear way with how he shared that with me. He also showed me that our church's furnace needs a little help. And what I mean by that is our ability to become hot and not lukewarm or cold is going to get help. He's sending help to us. And it's going to come in a fun way. So I'm kind of excited about that one too. Then he also showed me that he's going to start, he's been preparing us, and when I say us, I'm talking about the Seven City region here, all of the prayer that we've done with, and worship and things that we've done with other churches over the last while. He's been preparing us to do what we're supposed to do and to receive by way of revelation what we're supposed to receive in very unique ways. And if that's been happening to you, of course, test everything according to the scripture and those things, because it's important to test things. But just know that even if you don't think you're a person who receives revelation, you're not intentionally out there looking for God to talk to you, he's probably going to start doing that, because the scripture says in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. That means all flesh, and all flesh doesn't mean just Christians. And so the bread of the children of God is not only God's presence, but revelation, healing, all the fullness of the kingdom, basically, those kinds of things. And so I had some strange encounters this week where I woke up and I saw things I haven't seen before, and they were from the Lord. And so there's just things that, there's going to be an increase this month, and I shared this last week, there's going to be an increase this month of May, in this, particularly in the realm of revelation, but also people. And if you look around the room, we have a lot of regulars missing, but we have some folks that haven't come before or are fairly new, and we're just really glad you all are here. Hopefully the Lord will really touch you this morning. But we've been praying for this community, this area, for some time, and we're going to start to see breakthroughs happening in those arenas. He also showed me that we're in school. And some of us love school and some of us don't. I'd probably be in the latter category. But in this school that he's got us in, there's very ancient things that he wants to show you about himself. And, you know, Moses asked that God would show him his glory, but he wanted to know him and his ways. And so that's the safest way I can tell you to pray in this season. And I really believe those types of prayers are going to be answered in very profound ways. Write it down and remind yourself that you got told this is going to happen, because it's going to happen. If you will ask the Lord to show you his glory, show him who he really is and his ways, he's going to do that. He's going to do it in very unique ways, even if you aren't one of those people that hears from God, because you're about to be if you're not. And then here's the other issue that the Lord showed me. It's time for people to get untangled from their pasts and lay down their old stuff and move forward like you know you're supposed to move forward. And moving forward in the kingdom might mean, for some of us, dropping addictions or dropping old patterns that we know, or habits that we know are not healthy for us. For others of us, it might mean, I've been sitting a long time, and it's time for me to step out and start doing kingdom things. You know, for others, it's like, I've really felt the Lord calling me to draw nearer to him in prayer for some time. I need to spend more time with the Lord praying. Whatever it is, do it. And how he showed me that at the end of this encounter is, there was a pair of Nikes there that I was supposed to take. They weren't mine, but I was supposed to take them. And Nikes, just do it. That's the heaviness of the message. It's time to leave the past behind and move forward and grab a hold of what the Lord's showing you to do. And you're going to have some breakthroughs start to happen. So here's the one that probably impacted me the most. This one happened two nights ago. I had an encounter where I was taken into a throne room, and I was with two men I didn't know and John Paul Jackson. And we all went to visit a church, a pastor and a church. And in this encounter, the pastor rejected John Paul Jackson. And in my dreams, John Paul Jackson is my spiritual father. He's a prophet that the Lord took home recently. He's in heaven now. But John Paul not only represents my spirit, my spiritual father, but it's the Holy Spirit. In fact, he represents in my mind the fullness of the kingdom. And so this is a picture. When we went, there was a rejection, and we went back into this throne room, and John Paul was talking to the man that I felt like was the most important besides him in the room about some things, and the other guy and I were just witnesses, I think. And we were listening to this conversation, and they were talking about how this pretty important pastor and person rejected the Holy Spirit, and John Paul said, and where I'm rejected, I will not go. And the other witness turned around and said goodbye and left, and I saw this exit sign, much like we have lit up above our doors here, and I knew it was time for me to leave. I didn't need to say anything, and the Lord was just showing me this, that we're coming to a season where people are going to have an opportunity to receive the presence or the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and if you reject it, He'll withdraw. And this is biblical. If you read the book of Revelation, what happened to the lampstands, or what was the threat that God gave to the churches who were rejecting him and rejecting the Spirit's presence, whose love had grown cold, etc.? He'll remove the lampstand from their midst. And so I think we're coming into the season where the parable of the 10 virgins is pretty severely real. You know, five had the ability, they had the oil and the lamp, and the others needed it, and it was too late, you know. And so I just believe we're really coming into that season. So I hope that made some sense to you. I try to just kind of congeal the revelation down into something practical for you. Now, if you've got a Bible or some sort of device you've stored the scripture in, what we're going to talk about today is it's called When God Comes. When God Comes. And how many of you know the presence of the Holy Spirit is here right now? Yeah. How many of you know if you're a born-again believer, you carry the Holy Spirit with you wherever you go? Isn't that wonderful? And it's not just all about convicting us of sin, although that's a portion of it. He loves to bring blessing, favor, joy. He loves to manifest gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit in us and through us. And there are seasons and times in history where God breaks through in very special ways. And he doesn't always do it in a way that the same way he did it before. He doesn't always do it like we'd like him to. And in fact, sometimes he does stuff and people don't even notice it. They don't get it. And we started laying a little bit of a foundation for that last week. At this point, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I'm not sure when we're going back into the life of Jacob, because we need to talk about this for a while. It's heavy on me. And so the first scripture we're going to look at is in Luke 19, 37 through 44. And here's what it says. It says this: Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice and all for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered them and said, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw and wept over it. He saw the city and he wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this day, your day, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. How many of you want to be in those kind of shoes, not knowing the time of your visitation? How many of you know God is a God who's a God of suddenlies? He just, you can be praying and praying and praying and praying about stuff, and sometimes we just lay certain things aside because we're like, been praying about that a long time, and God's not answered that, so I'm just going to lay it down and move on. And then he answers it. It was much like last week when we were talking about Elizabeth and Zacharias the priest, and how 20, 25 years they prayed for a child, and he gets a special appointment to be the incense burner in the temple out of over 10,000 priests. He's the man. And it's in that moment God shows up. And you know, as it says in Scripture, his friends were outside praying. Everybody's excited. And he was in there a long time. Everybody knew he'd had some kind of revelation. But because his heart wasn't right, he was arguing with the angel. And because he argued with the angel, what happened? His mouth was shut. He couldn't proclaim the revelation he was shown. He had to just live to the end of it, and then it came. What a horrible punishment in my mind. And yet, in God's grace, baby came and was used mightily of God, of course. We don't want to be the person whose heart's not prepared or ready for God to move in our lives. Many of you are sitting here in church today because God moved in your life in the past in a particular way, and he's called you into a relationship with you. Some of you are sitting here today, and you're not quite sure where you landed and why you're here exactly, but you're here. I'm telling you, because of God's goodness and his kindness, you're here to hear this message today. So, in several places in the Bible, it tells us that God showed up when he wasn't expected, although he probably should have been expected. Have you experienced that? Yes. Have you been in times and seasons in your life where the enemy showed up and you weren't expecting that? Everybody that has any sort of discernment at all can say, yes, we've experienced that more than once. Not that long ago, I was asleep in my bed at home. It was the middle of the night, about 3 in the morning. And I had this horrible spiritual warfare dream, and I was fighting the enemy, and one of the enemy was stabbing me in the back. And I pulled myself out of the dream and woke myself up, and it was actually really happening. Like, I was on my left side facing my wife, and I looked over my shoulder, and that spirit was still there with its dagger in the room. He didn't realize I was awake, you know. And so it's like, did I go to bed expecting that? No. You know, there are things that happen from time to time where the enemy shows up and does stuff, and there's times when the Lord shows up and does stuff. I've had numerous incidences where the Lord did strange things that I didn't expect in ways that I'd never quite seen before, but they're consistent with who he is and how he operates, because Jesus is, of course, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So many of those experiences I've shared in the past here with many of you, and you know, I just want to tell you that there are things that in my past I prayed for a very long time, and I didn't see them come to pass, and I let them go. I put them in that heap of things that I figured God wasn't going to mess with, and then he did it. I believe the move of God that many of you have been praying for in our region is very close. Very close. And so it often happens when we've prayed and prayed and prayed and kind of given up on something that it happens. So looking back in this story here, you couldn't have told the Pharisees or the religious leaders of Israel 2,000 years ago that when the Messiah came, they were going to miss it. But they sure did, didn't they? It was like a swing and a miss, 3 times you go get on the bench kind of thing. And so I've had this question in me, what if we're like Israel? I hope not. We don't want to be like Israel. We don't want to miss our time, do we? We really don't want to do it. There are things that can cause us to miss. What causes you to miss things that God's doing that you realize later he did? Well, I can name a few because I'm good at it. One of them is I've missed stuff that God's done because I was apathetic about the things of the kingdom. I wasn't looking for what God was doing. I was just kind of doing my own deal. Another way to miss something is when you think God needs to do a certain thing a certain way, and he chooses to answer the prayer his way. And you realize when you go to pray for that issue, he already answered it. It's not the answer you wanted or thought it should be, but he answered it, so you can lay it down now. Those are awkward moments. You know, when you're pretty certain you know God so well, he's going to, you know, this is how I'm feeling burdened to pray. This is what's going to happen. Oops. So I'm going to miss. Oh, well. You know, sometimes we miss stuff because we just don't care. We're doing our own kingdom, doing our own agendas. You know, sometimes we get religious and we're just focused on how we're performing because we think that's what needs to happen to please God. And we compare ourselves to others and we get in this really weird worldly mindset. That's not a good thing. Worldly's not good. And we're not focused on the things of the kingdom, the spirit. We're focused on worldly competitions and measurements, and we're spiritually asleep. That's the best way to describe it. We're spiritually asleep. So I want to talk to you about five ways that God comes that are surprising or new in the scripture. And hopefully this will make some sense to you today. And then we're going to do something I'm going to share beforehand so you're not shocked by it or put off by it or whatever. A few weeks ago, I was praying with the pastors back in our prayer room on Monday. And we meet every Mondays at 3 o'clock to pray together for a revival. We have been doing it for over 3 years now. And the Lord dropped in my heart to have each of the pastors in that meeting, but also the pastors of churches we've gone to in the region to release prophetic words and prayer. We're all going to pray the same prayer or same type of prayer. It's going on now all over the Seven City region. We'll do it at the end of our service. Some guys are doing it in the middle. You know, it's already happening. I'm just going to explain it to you. Here's what I wrote to the guys. This is the basic idea or the vision. We are going to ask God to release the fullness of the kingdom in our midst with an emphasis on healings, salvations, and of course the gifts of the Spirit for ministry. We're looking for the fullness of the kingdom manifesting in the church again. Our promise to God, if he does this, is to preach the cross of the gospel as he releases a greater anointing on our seven-city region and in our churches. We will do this together on May 3rd. The idea is to explain to our congregations that we have received prophetic insight from a variety of good sources that God intends to cause healing and other types of spiritual breakthroughs during May, September, and beyond of this year. With that in mind, we've decided to gather our church together in a circle while holding hands and agree that we would be good stewards of what God desires to do, and by a step of faith, pray with belief that he will release the anointing and that our response will be to be faithfully preaching the gospel, Christ crucified and risen. If you choose to participate, you can choose to do this at any point during your May 3rd service. One suggestion is to do this after preaching on Jesus' promise that we would see miracles after the preaching of the gospel, or whatever else you feel led to do. Others of you might want to do this after worship. My sense that it might not be a great idea to do it right after your worship because it might be tough to transition to a sermon, since you may want to pray for healing that God gives you an opportunity to answer yes to. I suggest that you get your intercessors praying for this prior and that you cast a vision among your leadership as well, blah, 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 blah. So there are several churches doing this today, and we're going to do it too at the end of our service. Here's the deal. You ever thought you'd live in a region where churches go, we want the fullness of the kingdom, we're going to get people to hold hands and ask for it? That blows my mind. Doesn't that sound crazy? Or does it sound like God? I think it sounds like God. I really do. I can't wait for us to get together to do this. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm hoping for a suddenly. So in Genesis chapter 22, here's the first one. Five ways the Lord comes at a surprising time or way. Genesis 22, verses 12 through 14. Here's the situation. God tells Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and Abraham's ready to obey. He's holding the knife in the air, ready to kill his own son, when God says no. So what happened in this story? The Lord appeared in an unexpected way. Hebrews 11:19 says, Abraham thought God could raise the dead. So Abraham was a man of faith. He was bent on obeying. And his whole deal was, even if I have to follow through with this thing, even though we know murder's wrong, God can raise the dead. It's an issue of obedience for me. It needs to be that way for us too, doesn't it? And so Abraham thought God could raise the dead. That's that he would bring Isaac back from death. Instead, God just tested Abraham to see if he'd really obey him. So Abraham's obedience resulted in an unexpected revelation of God that in turn increased his trust in God. Can you imagine having that kind of an encounter with God? Could you imagine being somebody in a more conservative evangelical church that isn't spirit-filled and have to come give during testimony time, share that one? That would get interesting in a hurry, wouldn't it? They'd be like, heretic. Yeah. I'm going to tell you that the way Abraham looked at God and the way God does things was translated into a greater understanding of God and his ways. Number two, when our complete forgiveness of others is followed by a time of blessing of God. How many of you have ever been offended? I'm thinking daily, but anyway, yeah, whether it's my dogs, my kids, my wife, the church, traffic, oh, there's my favorite. Do you ever get the feeling that there's certain people that sit in their driveways idling in their car waiting for just the right time to pull out so they can be on the road between you and where you want to go? I'm certain of it. Anyway, so what's the story that goes with this one? Joseph. Remember Joseph? He went through a long period of bitterness because of what his brothers had done to him. They had sold him into slavery, and the next thing we know, Joseph is working in Egypt as a servant in the house of Potiphar, who is an Egyptian official, and Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. Joseph rejects her, so he's done the right thing here, right? So he should get blessed, right? That's not what happens. Everything's going backwards here because he's had all these dreams that he's going to be all that and his father and brothers are going to bow to him. And what? So Joseph rejects her, but she lies and says he tried to rape her. So now he's in prison. It gets worse. Joseph has every reason to be bitter. Number one, because of what his brothers did to him. Number two, because he's been falsely accused. God didn't step in and bring truth to bear that would set him free. So the next thing is Pharaoh's butler and baker get thrown in prison with him. And he is able to interpret their dreams and help them. And so he told the guy that was going to live, remember me. Get this, he says, when you get out in 3 days, remember me to Pharaoh because I have done nothing wrong to deserve this. God's response to that was, well, you get to cook another couple years. You're not ready to be released. I'm pretty certain that I'm not the only one here with a fair amount of pride, self-focus, etc. And Joseph had his share, if you read the story pretty carefully. This concerns me when I read this story. What did it take to break this man? Because he's pretty bitter still, isn't he? I didn't deserve this. So because of the self-pity, self-righteousness, which stemmed from his bitterness, God says, Joseph, you aren't ready yet. So we can be sure that during those 2 years, Joseph dealt with his bitterness. How can we know that? Because that was the point of him being in there, humbling him, breaking him, etc. Because he forgave his brothers in Genesis 45. You can look at that if you don't believe me. He was a broken, humble man by the time it was time for the blessing and things to happen. So one day the Lord delivers him. A knock comes on the door. Pharaoh himself has requested him to interpret a dream. The result of that particular weird incident, this is probably not how he thought would God show up and get him out of prison. So the result of this is Joseph is appointed governor of Egypt. This is insane, isn't it? How many of you have a prayer request that you've been pounding heaven with for a while? We'll put it that way. And you haven't got the answer you wanted, or any answer maybe. And you're thinking, this isn't going to go. I'm going to throw that one on the heap of unanswered prayers. Well, I would suggest you don't. Remember last week? We talked about a couple things that we can be certain of. If you pray in the will of God according to God, you're going to get an answer. And it's going to be a positive answer. You know. But it takes some hanging in there, doesn't it? It honors God when he hang in there. So he gets appointed governor of Egypt. So when did the Lord appear? When the end of Joseph's long nightmare coincided with Joseph's complete forgiveness of those that had hurt him. That ushered in a time of God's blessing, not just for Joseph, but for the nation. Pretty large stuff. We're asking for large stuff, aren't we? We're asking God, like Pam and I climbed Badger Mountain from the West Richland side on Saturday morning. And we get up there and we're looking over the Seven Sea region and we're like, well, shoot, Lord. You bought and paid for all this on the cross. Why don't you just take it? Makes sense to us, doesn't it? Right? He loves everybody. He's bought and paid for their salvation. So Pam and I, John Sanford, who's an old saint, pretty famous among certain circles of Christians, Pam and I had the privilege a few months ago of sitting with him for about 5 hours on a Saturday. And he lives up in Idaho. And he imparted to Pam and I some authority that we didn't have in the prayer realm while we're sitting at a table at Sherry's. Everybody awake? That's funny that that happened then, isn't it? Authority, boom. It's not a coincidence. The car alarm was not a coincidence. This is so fun. This is way better than like the old times, right? You know what I'm saying? You sit in church and go, whoa, is it time to go yet? No, I'm getting hungry. Yeah. I hope we're getting this. So he imparts this authority in prayer that God gave him. He had this encounter. He gets drawn up into heaven, and the Lord gives him a rod. And it's a rod of authority in the realm of prayer. He said, you two are supposed to have this. And so was Rob. Morissette was with us. And so we're starting to walk down the trail yesterday. And we prayed that God take the seven cities and that he'd release his power when the churches all got in circles and we're praying. And whether it manifests right in the moment or not, I don't care. I just know it's going to happen. But I think it will. But anyway, so we're walking down the hill and I go, hey, Pam, remember what Sanford said? We stood up on the hill and agreed together. We have a little bit of authority in the region. And we have a word from a known prophet that we're walking in authority in the realm of prayer. How much faith do you have? You know, this is really my conversation with Pam on the way down the hill yesterday. I'm like, I think we need to believe. This is the only thing that's going to save America. God's Spirit moving, people repenting, getting right with God. You know, it says all the way through the scripture that when a people, a city, a nation walks righteously, they have God's favor and blessing. Our nation's not doing that. It's not doing that. So does anybody need to forgive anyone? Joseph had to go through a massive process of breaking, and he had to forgive people. And God shows up powerfully. It affects an entire nation. Third way, when our desperation makes us keep obeying. I recently gone through about 5 years of what people describe as the dark night of the spirit. God allows it. He does it on purpose to people that love him and that he loves. Which is hard for me to get my mind around sometimes. But basically, he shows you your sin. He shows you your selfish ambitions. And literally, you go through a long, prolonged process of dying to your selfish ambition, dying to your agendas, dealing with the fact that you're a sinner, saved by grace, at levels you never really understood that you needed before. Seriously, it's painful. And usually, there's very little fruit in your life. It's a real barren thing. And you just kind of white knuckle it through that process, hoping you survive it. Many people have left the ministry. Many people aren't walking with God. You know, they started down this path and they just went, not going to do it. But I got to the point where I got a little stubborn in a good way. And I was like, you know what? We paid such a price to plant this church, to be here, going through all the stuff that we've gone through over the years. I'm going to hang in there and see what happens at the end of this, because it's got to be really good. So it's kind of like a morbid sense of humor, isn't it? You know, I'm going to take more blows just to see where this goes. But you almost got to get tenacious like that, kind of dogged about this. And so when our desperation makes us keep on obeying, remember this story. The nation of Israel has been captive 400 years. Moses comes on the scene, but they aren't ready for him. So he goes off to live in the desert for 40 years. God prepares him during that time. 40 years later, he appears again, and this time they recognize him as their God-sent deliverer. Isn't that amazing? And then as soon as Moses says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go," everything goes nastily backwards. In fact, the people's workloads, the Egyptians used to provide the straw for them to make their bricks. Now Pharaoh was so offended, he wouldn't even provide the straw. So they had to go get the straw and make the bricks. So their workload like nearly doubled. And things go from bad to worse, because now the people who were excited to see Moses turned on him. So Moses is like, he's got this burning bush experience back in the desert, his calling. And he's like, yeah, let's go take the kingdom for the king. Here we go. And then, can you imagine being this guy? And then it's like 10 plagues later. 10 plagues later. No way. Finally, the breakthrough comes. But 3 days into the journey, they have a large river in front of them and the Egyptian army behind them. They've had their breakthrough. They've looted the entire nation. Big time party in the desert. And it looks like they're all about to die. This is where I think, here's a lesson that Moses learned that day. What did the Lord say to Moses? Do you remember? This is hilarious stuff to me. He says, "Why are you crying out to me?" Wasn't that what we're supposed to do? His response was, "Tell the people to keep moving, stretch your staff out, and divide the water so they can cross over." Hello? He told them to go take the land, right? It's the only logical thing left, right? Sometimes the staff is a picture of authority. You know, you have authority as a believer, and you get to decide what you believe and what you don't believe. You can reject what God's word says. You can reject what any preacher says. You can, you know, there's a price to pay for each thing, good or bad, receiving or rejecting. But in the end, you have authority. And what have we been doing with our authority? Well, I don't know about you, but I hang around a lot of different people in my life because of the role I have in the kingdom and things. And I hear people moaning about our president. I hear people moaning about our Congress. I hear people moaning about liberalism. I'm like, we get the final vote, people. We're not beholden to world systems and people. If you think that, your God's too small. How many of you know that we have a great big God? And there's a little tiny devil. I heard that in a song once. So Moses has to do one more thing. Think about it. He goes out in the desert. There's a burning bush. He's got to go close to it. Then he's got to go do something he feels ill-equipped to do, but he goes and does it. Through 10 plagues, they finally get freedom and the breakthrough. And the Lord is looking at him going, you have to do one more thing. Stick your walk in your authority. Stick your staff out there. Divide the water and get the people through there. You got to do the one more thing that he's telling you to do. And if it's not the one more thing, there's another one more thing, then do that too. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you get it? This is how you walk in faith. You ever wondered what it's like to walk in faith? That's it right there. To me, faith is believing God. It's really simple. If I know what he said, I can believe him. So God's saying, quit praying and start obeying. Lift up your rod of authority and start walking in the fullness of the kingdom. So through Moses' desperation, leading him to continued obedience, that's how the Lord appeared. He sticks his staff out, the water divides, boom, big victory. Number four, when God ignores all the traditional ways in which he's manifested before and appears in a new way. If someone were to say to you today, you are going to have an encounter with God between now and sunset, most of us would think, well, I'll know if that happens or not, right? Right? Some of you are looking at me like, I'm not sure. So remember Elijah? Who was that? That was an Old Testament prophet. So Elijah was set to see a manifestation of God's glory unlike anything he'd never seen before. So in 1 Kings 19, verses 9 through 18, it says this, and things came out at a time in his life when he was depressed and he was tired and he was running for his life. All this stuff was going on. So he's hiding, and God says, watch and see what I will do. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. How many of you would go do that? I'd be like, I got to see this. Even if I don't live to tell about it, this is going to be awesome. Right? So the first thing that happens is what? This great and powerful wind tears up the mountains, shatters the rocks all around him, and he thinks, this has to be the Lord. Nope. You know, the Lord had appeared that way before more than once. So it had to be God, right? Nope. We're told that the Lord was not in the wind. Well, that was weird. He's got rocks shattering, exploding all over the place. That had to be scenic, right? Had to be a little frightening. So what happens next? After the wind, there was an earthquake. Ah, this must be it. Nope, the Lord was not in the earthquake. In the Psalms, it says the Lord touches the mountains and they smoke. Or turned to smoke. But that wasn't how it went down, right? Third, then came the fire. Now, this has happened before. There's the burning bush and other things. This must be it. But it says the Lord was not in the fire. If you're religious, you're going to miss it, aren't you? because there's just certain things God can and can't do in your little minds and our little minds. And we look for him in particular familiar ways, and we got to be open, don't we, to him doing something a little different. So after the fire, there is a gentle whisper, which I think is the normal way most Christians hear God nowadays. Isn't that interesting? But it was new back then. Gentle whisper, or still small voice, is what it says in the, I think, the King James Version. So it says, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood on the mouth of the cave. God wants to appear to us right here, and we can't tell him how to do it. Will we recognize him when he does? Number five. When God ignores our prayer requests but appears with special grace instead. When God ignores our prayer requests but appears in special grace instead. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. What was it? To take what away? What is what Paul called a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was, but it was so awful that Paul tried to pray it gone. You ever done that before? Yes, we all have, haven't we? Sometimes we feel discouraged because we've asked God to do something and he hasn't answered, and we ask again and again and still no answer, so we start to think there must be something wrong with me. Well, there is, but that's not the issue here. Well, what about the Apostle Paul? Was there something wrong with him? No. No, that wasn't the issue. God did answer his prayer, but not in the way that he wanted. Remember what he said? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. What was Paul's response to God's answer? He didn't pitch a fit and yell, you're unfair, you're mean, you don't really love me. All the stuff that we may or may not say out loud but might be in our hearts when we don't get our way, when God's giving an answer for something. No, he said this, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delighted in weakness, for in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What does that mean? When we are in a place of humility and brokenness before the Lord, that is when the resurrection power of God can flow through us. In our weakness, that's his strength. That's the picture of the resurrection power of God flowing through believers. So do you wonder why you've gone through what you've gone through? Do you wonder why the church has gone through what it's gone through? Well, this is why. That we might be broken, humble vessels, ready to receive a fuller manifestation of the kingdom than we've walked in before. Who gets the glory when that happens? The Lord does. And it's his in the first place. And I don't think he's going to share it with anybody. Right? No. So, that was the way the Lord appeared to him, not in the way Paul thought he would, because Paul had seen a bunch of healings, hadn't he? He was just looking for his, and then all of a sudden, nope, we're going to go about this a different way. So, today we're going to humble ourselves, and we're going to circle up. We used to have enough people where we could go all the way around the sanctuary, but I don't think we're there anymore. So I'm going to ask that everybody stand up, and see Cameron here? How about everybody in the rows behind her jump up where she is, and then we'll cut across to Jim and Thelma. We jump up where this gentleman is here. Is it Ray? Hey, Ray? Anyway, we'll start the circle like there, and we'll try and come up here, and we'll try and connect to the pulpit on each side, because I think there's some anointing on the pulpit that we need to be close to. Yeah. And but we're just going to try and make a circle. and release the power of God. Yeah, it's Ray, go ahead and stay where you are, or jump in that that row or aisle anyway. Can we stretch it out here? Connect. This is pretty good, isn't it? And we'll let Mom and Baby hang out there because Baby's sleeping. He's getting an early start on learning to sleep through sermons, which is really awesome. I love it. I told him that the other day because he's already asleep before we even started. That was awesomer. Anyway, here's that mirror hand. I'm going to just kind of put my foot on my pulpit here, I guess. That's the connection we're going to have. All right. I'm going to pray some stuff here that I want you to agree with me. Some of it we prayed earlier when we were starting the service off. And let's let Kathy in because there won't be enough anointing without her. There we go. She's one of our key intercessors. Anyway, I'm going to pray some of the stuff we prayed earlier because that's what's being prayed all over, but then I have some other things. But while I'm praying, I just want you to engage your faith. Did you know that there's more faith than when we engage together and pull on heaven than just our own singular faith? That's an important piece of this thing. And so I'm going to pray and ask you to pull on heaven. And what I mean by that is say, yes, Lord. And by faith, say, we receive it, Lord. And we're going to choose to walk in it, Lord. And when we're done with this, we may wait on the Lord a little while and give him chance to anoint us while we're standing here. And we're going to pray for people who have physical, spiritual, emotional needs when we're done. So everybody's going to become the ministry team today in that sense. So what we're doing is important, but it should be fun too, right? Yeah. And if the Holy Spirit starts manifesting on people, it's okay. If people shake or giggle or quake, that's all happened before, and God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So we're not going to freak out when that happens. If somebody starts, you know, jumping up and down for joy or whatever, that's cool too. I don't care. So here we go. Father in heaven, we pray that our church would be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, and that we would know the hope of our calling in Jesus. We pray that our hearts do not harden, that our minds and understanding do not become darkened, and that our emotions do not become impenitent through jaded perceptions or by taking God's glory for granted. We pray that our souls would not wither due to continued willful sin. And we pray that we would have constant and continual fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ through the blessing and presence of the Holy Spirit. During worship, we pray for the presence of God to powerfully manifest and for the glory of God to literally fill the room. We pray that there would be a release of angelic hosts and ministries among us, and we ask for new and unique manifestations of the Holy Spirit as we worship. We ask for the prophetic spirit of God to rest on our worship leaders and musicians. We ask for clear wisdom and ability to flow with the leading of the Holy Spirit. We ask for worshipers to embrace the call to holiness and for refreshing through the Holy Spirit, healing, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and freedom from demonic influences. We pray that the pulpit ministry would bring the spirit of conviction through the preaching of the word, that it would bring salvation to the non-believers and clearer revelation to the body of Christ. We pray that the anointing would powerfully fall through the preaching of the word. And we pray that during times of ministry that we'd see manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to powerfully heal, encourage, and refresh all believers. We pray that each believer would be salt and light as you intended, and that we would have hearts open to hear your heart as we walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit's promptings. We ask for favor here in the North Richland neighborhood, that you would supernaturally draw people to your presence here at the Bridge, and that you would knit us together with key leaders, including Jolie and the Sacagawea Elementary School leaders, teachers, students, and their families. We ask that our ministries would flourish, that our youth, our children, Celebrate Recovery, home groups, Alpha, Lighthouse, small groups, worship, intercession, and every other thing that we're called to put our hands to. We ask, Lord, that you would make it work and that it would be fruitful. We ask for supernatural provision, that we would see the building paid off, a new roof, and all that needed repairs completed, and that we ask, Lord, that each member here would have favor in their workplaces, and that each member would prosper greatly, and that tithe faithfully, so that we would honor you, your word, and be in a position to be focused on taking the kingdom for the King without care for our basic needs being met. So now, Lord, we cry out for a fullness of the kingdom to manifest in the church, here and elsewhere. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that as you do so, that we would be faithful to you to preach the gospel, that we would preach Christ risen from the dead, and that, Lord, that we would see the people in the region changed for the better, not just saved, Lord, but they would become pictures of Christ's likeness here in the Seven City region and beyond. And we ask, Lord, humbly before you, that you would continue the process you have us in until we are made perfect in Christ, complete in him, and that we would walk in the full measure you intended for us to walk in, and that as such, Lord, we would become the people of the kingdom that you desired us to be, and that we would see fully your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the church said, Amen. Amen. So, Holy Spirit, would you say, come? We ask, Lord, in the room today, I don't know if everyone knows you yet. If there's people here who do not know you, I ask, Lord, that they just simply stop and invite you, Lord Jesus, to be Lord of their lives, confess their sin, and, Lord, be clean and washed and yours. And I pray that you would baptize them in the Holy Spirit, that they would be not only washed away from their sin, but filled with the infilling of the Spirit, and, Lord, that they would become the overcomer you've called them to be. And Lord, there's people in the room here who have healing needs, spiritual, emotional, and other, physical. And we're just asking, Lord, for a release now today for faith to pray for the very thing you bought and paid for on the cross. We thank you that the cross not only paid for our salvation, but it paid for our healing. For the blood of Jesus brings healing. Healing here and elsewhere. And it's, so, Lord, we just receive that measure of healing today that you intended so long ago to release in our midst. And the church said, Amen. So, everybody drop hands here, and I want you to stay where you are. If you have a healing need, would you raise your hand? Okay, keep your hand up and high. And I want people near you to go and lay hands on people. And we're going to do this in about two rounds probably, because we may not have enough people to get the first round prayed for. So go to somebody who's got their hand up right now, and I want to make sure everybody's getting somebody praying for them. Who doesn't have... Because we're going to do a second round, so if you're praying for somebody right now, you're going to get prayed for next year. Simply ask the person what they need prayer for. And just simply ask Jesus to heal them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for touching your people, for healing. We just declare in Jesus' name, on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the release of healing in Jesus' name. Simply receive in Jesus' name his love and his healing. At least one person needs to lay something down at the foot of the cross this morning that's in the way of your healing. You just need to lay down. It could be unbelief. It could be bitterness. It could be anger at God, anger at others. If you lay that down at the foot of the cross, it's going to get released today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, if you have a healing need and you didn't get prayed for this first round, raise your hand right now. There's one back here. There's one over here. Raise your hand high if you have a healing need right now that you didn't get prayed for. Is there two back here? Okay. Anybody else? Raise your hand if you have a prayer need. Because we want to make sure that's going. Okay. We're going to go ahead and start praying for these next round of people. And then if you don't have a healing need and you just need to stay and soak in what God's doing, great. If you have a desire to or need to go ahead and do that. But hug at least three people before you go. That's all we're asking. So here we go again. We're about to pray for folks' healing now again. So Holy Spirit, we ask, come. Come, Holy Spirit. We're standing in agreement as a church, and we're pulling on heaven, and we're saying, Lord Jesus, release that healing anointing in the church again. In Jesus' name, we receive it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're crying out for more anointing, more of the presence of the Spirit manifesting in our midst. We're just saying, we need you. We desire you. It's our only hope to see you manifest in the church powerfully, that we might see the fullness of the kingdom. Lord, that every kind of physical ailment, spiritual ailment, emotional issue would be touched and dealt with today, that we'd all walk out of here different than we came in Jesus' name. It's easy for you, Lord, so we're just receiving all that you intend to release today. Thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Begin to thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you, Father. We're going to become a real Pentecostal church here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless you. Bless you. Yes. Let's birth this thing like we're supposed to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you ahead of time for Jenny's healthy baby that's coming any moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want more of an atmosphere change than this. Do you guys want more? It's kind of up to us. I feel like we're the dude in the Old Testament firing the arrows. We better fire as many as we can. Thank you, Lord, for salvations today. Thank you for salvations that are coming. Thank you for birthing in us what you desire to birth today and what you're doing in us. We receive with gladness. We ask that you would make room in us to believe for more and that we might receive more day by day. And Lord, we're just asking for a fullness of the kingdom manifest in us and through us this week. And so we receive the anointing for us, the callings and gifts that you've given us. And we ask, Lord, for that furnace to be stoked, that there'd be a passionate fire burning in us as a church and individually, and that you'd be glorified all week long in us and through us. And the church said, amen. So hug at least three and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.